97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Out in the sticks with the squirrels and the ticks and my 30 on six. I'm running out of Miller Lite, trucks and park. The dog won't bark, couple hours till dark. Wishing one would walk by. Might as well left my gun in the gun rack. Been here all day. All I kill's a 12 pack. Sitting here waiting on a deer.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us once again. My name is Tony Colombo, here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, how's it going,
that,
my friend?
That is the greatest thing about that song in country music. It includes alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, known by our president as the AFT.
He won. He won an award this week, Entertainer of the Year. Drinking Beer, Wasting Bullets by Luke Bryan.
Look, I just like I just get caught up in the story that's being told because I can put myself in that, in exactly the situation that he's describing. And I get lost.
The only thing you killed was a 12-pack?
Not Miller Lite, Natural Lite.
Right.
But that's the only difference between me and that song. So, welcome into today's show. We've got a lot to talk about. We appreciate you joining us. We are going to get out into the great outdoors in today's show and talk a little bit about that. We are also going to talk a lot about what is happening in the world of the Second Amendment and gun rights and what is happening with those throughout the country, both federally and on a statewide basis. First thing I do want to talk about, though, is speaking of the great outdoors, the news broke this week that we set a world record here in the state of Missouri.
Twice.
Podcast downloads of Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
We did set that, but we also set a world fishing record out at Lake Wapapello. The Missouri Department of Conservation this week officially recognized a new state record for the largest spotted gar. And according to the MDC, the fish is large enough to set the world record as well. Wow. The fish was caught on February 25th, but it was just revealed and confirmed this past week. 10-pound, 9-ounce spotted gar on Lake Wapapello, and that is really, really cool. Guy's name was Devlin Rich, who apparently is not an easy man to get a hold of. We tried to talk to Devlin because I wanted to hear the story, but we weren't able to get a hold of him.
He does not want to be found.
Yeah, there was also a state record set this week, a fishing state record set this week, and the gentleman who set that record, I think, is going to join us on the show next week.
He will be with us next week.
We will get a record-setting fish story whenever we talk to him next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Now, have either of you caught or tasted gar?
I've accidentally hooked a gar.
Did you fry it up though?
No.
I heard a story about...
I cut the line before I got it in the boat.
I heard a story about gar. When you catch a gar, you're supposed to set it out in the sun on a piece of wood. Then, when it's dry, throw the gar away and eat the wood.
Eat the wood.
Because it's that bad.
So, I'm going to use this opportunity to tell my fish story.
Uh-oh.
Again... It is a fish story.
Yeah, there's a reason
it's a tale.
Yeah, it's called that.
There's a reason that I title it that. But the every detail that I'm about to tell you is absolutely true. There is no part of this story that is exaggerated.
Fabricated.
Fake. Or exaggerated. Mm. The assumption.
It was 24 inches long.
The assumption at the end is the only part that...
Is up in the air.
Is up in the air. And I admit that it's an assumption.
Which is assuming.
I have an assumption that I hold the Missouri state record for the largest crappie ever caught in the state of Missouri. Here's the story. We were out. Gosh, it's been a long time ago now. 5 or 6 years ago, at least.
Back in the olden days.
on my little John boat on a lake called Sunfish Lake up in North County. And we were, it was my friend Perry Woods and myself, who are 95% of my fishing time is spent with Perry. And we were fishing for bass because that's what we fish for. And
you like fishing for bass. That's what you
prefer.
That's
our goal. And Sunfish Lake is known for its big fish. It's not a lake that produces very large numbers, but when you do get a fish, it's typically a big fish. And they have big crappie in there as well. And as anybody will know, from time to time, a crappie will hit a bass lure like a crankbait or something. And so I catch this fish, and it's a crappie. And it's the biggest crappie I've ever seen, but I don't fish for crappie, so I don't have very much experience with them. But right. I am amazed at the size of this thing. We take a couple pictures of it because I wanted to send it to my dad and my uncle and say, look at the size of this freaking crappie that I caught. So took a couple pictures, threw it back in the water, went on about my day.
Did you weigh it?
Caught it? No, because I don't know
he
anything
tossed
about
it.
I just threw it back in. I don't know anything about crappie. I didn't even care. I was more upset that I caught a crappie than anything.
Wasted the time.
Yeah,
the
it was a but it was a huge fish. It was a big old crappie. So I did take a picture of it. So I still have the pictures. And because like I said, my dad and my uncle, I always joke about how there's a point in every bass fisherman's life that they get to a certain age and they become crappie fishermen. So it happened to my dad and my uncle had crossed that line and had been getting more and more into crappie fishing. So I thought it'd be fun to send him the picture of this big old fish. So we finished the day. I had a pretty good day. I caught a couple of really nice size bass, largemouth bass as well. And as we are at the boat ramp, loading back up onto the truck, there is a grandfather who is probably in his 60s, late 60s, something like that. Dad who is probably in his 40s, like me. And then a kid who is probably like 9 or 10. So it was obviously a family, grandpa, dad, kid going fishing in the afternoon, and Perry and I are done. So they're loading in as we're loading out, so we're passing each other there by the boat ramp. And I had stepped away and was up by the truck, putting some things in the truck. Perry was still down by the boat, and the guy is the son is having a conversation with Perry. Hey, how'd you guys do? Are they biting today? What's going on? And Perry said, I had a pretty good day, but this mother freaker, and points at me,
oh, hello.
And says, but this guy had a great day. He caught some big old bass and a big old crappie. And the dad says, how big was the crappie? And Perry says, I don't know, 5 or 6 pounds. And the guy says, no way. There's no crappie that's 5 or 6 pounds. So I'm up at the truck. I'm not hearing any of this conversation. And okay. All of a sudden, Perry's yelling at me, Tony, bring the picture of the crappie. Bring that picture of that crappie. Because this guy is like saying to Perry, get out of here.
There ain't no way.
Yeah. So we bring it out. So I walk my phone down, hand it to him. They show him the picture. The guy's like, holy cow. He calls his dad over, the old man. Old man comes over and he says, holy cow. He's like, you caught that here today? And we said, yeah. And he said, where is it? And he said, I threw it back. He said, did you weigh it? I said, no. He said, he said, that might be a record. And I said, no, get out of here. And he said, he said, no. He's like, that might be a record. I've never seen a bigger crappie. So we ended up looking it up. And I can't remember the number now. But the state record at the time and it was something like 5.5 pounds for a crappie. Look it up. And so, yeah, I don't know because I didn't weigh it. My guess is it was around 5 or 6 pounds. And I have the pictures of it. And go ahead.
I just looked it up.
Missouri state record for crappie.
The first result I get is black crappie, 4 pounds, 8 ounces in a private pond.
So there you go. This thing was probably 5. Yeah. So there is a possibility that I threw back the state record crappie without knowing it.
But just think, now it's bigger.
You just have a story.
but I have the pictures. And I have witnesses. That's my story. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And you have not gone back to that same waterway?
We've fished in that lake dozens of times since then. I've never
came back.
I've never caught that big of a crappie ever again. I've never seen a crappie that big. I didn't even know they got that big.
I have grass carp in my pond that are literally half the when my wife's holding on to it, it's like up to her waist. These things are like submarines. They are huge.
That's awesome.
And my lake is like crystal clear. Those are still there.
Okay,
those are
still there. It's the catfish that were taken? Harvested?
Well, I think they're down low.
They just don't eat anymore? You know, they just quit eating?
No. Well, they just quit eating. They're bottom feeders anyway.
Right.
No, I'm telling you, the fireworks that my neighbors blow off
made their appetites
go to the bottom.
Made their appetites go away.
It scared him. And even Mike Marfeld confirmed that could do that.
Uh-huh. I don't think he confirmed that it would make them stop eating.
So I had my cousin bring his little boy up last year in August and caught a catfish in my lake. And the line broke just as they got it to the shore. So it goes back out. He casts out again, catches the same fish. This time it stayed on the line and it had the second hook in the mouth. Of this exact, so that's the one catfish I know is in there.
It's a hungry fish.
That's great. Carl has given me the rap sign, so we got to take a break. We've got a great show on tap for you, though. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to talk to our friend Amy Markscores from KMOX. She is a big outdoors person.
She's a runner.
She's a hiker. And so we're going to get a chance to talk to her about that a little bit. Also want to get her thoughts on the president's recent actions in the world of the Second Amendment. Go ahead, Bo.
I just want to punch in. I'm still researching the crappie, the white crappie record, March 5th, 2000, in Poplar Bluff, 4 pounds, 9 ounces. Tony Colombo, the world record home.
I'm telling you, state record. State. I'm not
record.
Claiming.
Well,
I'm not claiming anything. I don't want to get too. I don't want to get too big for my britches here. So.
As you're telling the story, I'm thinking of that story we had last year, the catfish in the Mississippi. Man, that was a cool story. Anyway,
see if I can find that picture of the crappie. And
that'd be cool.
Maybe we can post it. I know I have it somewhere.
Yeah.
My dad had it blown up as a way to mock me afterwards.
Good dad.
Yeah. So Amy Markscores is going to join us a little bit later on in the show. After this break, we're going to talk to our friends from Osage County Guns. Don't go anywhere. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And Bo Matthews here. Thank you so much for joining us. If you miss anything on today's show, like my fascinating story about setting the Missouri record for the largest crappie ever
The unofficial.
The assumed state record.
Undocumented.
The undocumented assumed record. There's documentation.
The
now, hold on. There's documentation. There's some documentation.
There would be an
expert. Photographic
evidence.
Evidence of this fish.
Like Bigfoot.
Yeah, no, this is a very clear. This is a clear picture of me holding the fish.
If you had an expert look at the pictures, they could tell you how much it was.
They might be able to, they might be able to determine the exact length by the picture, and then and then also calculate the probable weight. I don't think that's enough to claim the record, but I'm just saying. I probably have the
same record. The photo would be time-stamped, so we have documentation of when it happened.
That's
and
right.
Geocoded,
I know
so we know where.
Oh. Exactly. It's geocoded and everything. That's right. I put a little microchip in the fish after I caught it so we can go find it again if we need to. if you missed that story and you would like to hear it again, or you miss anything from today's show and you'd like to hear it again, make sure you check out our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I would recommend the Odyssey app. It used to be the radio.com app. We have changed the name of that to Odyssey. So if you have been thinking about downloading our app, look for Odyssey in your Google Play Store or your App Store. And with that Odyssey app, you can download this podcast and every other podcast, every other show's podcast on the station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio. Lots of great stuff there with the Odyssey app. So make sure you go and check that out. Not only do we release this radio show as a podcast. In fact, we give you the opportunity to get this show before it even airs. Show, of course, airs on Saturdays and Sundays on 97.1 FM Talk and KMOX. But the podcast drops on Fridays, and then we have a podcast exclusive that comes out every Monday. So two opportunities to download podcasts from us every week, and we appreciate you doing that, and we appreciate you sharing it with anybody else in your life that you think might appreciate the kind of conversations that we have here on the show. Let's go ahead and bring in our friends from Osage County Guns, one of the great sponsors of this show and this station. We always appreciate talking to John and Jake, from Osage County Guns. Fellas, how's it going?
Good. Am I mistaking you for Joe Biden there?
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
That was a mistake. That was, wow.
John, what do you think of his fish story?
They didn't hear the whole story. They didn't hear the whole story.
But they know you.
I'm not buying it.
With photographic evidence.
The Cliff Notes version is I may have caught the state record crappie, Missouri state record, not knowing what I had. I took a picture of the fish because I knew it was the biggest crappie that I had ever seen, but I have no experience with crappie. So I took a picture to send it to my dad and my uncle as a gag saying, look at the size of this freaking crappie. And then later on found out that it may have been big enough to be a state record. If you believe that, I do have the pictures. Some people don't believe the story. I have witnesses.
Produce the picture.
I will. I certainly will.
Maybe it'll be the podcast photo if you could do that, Carl.
I'll try. If he shows it. If he finds it.
Yeah, I will. I know exactly where the picture's at. I will find it. I will produce that evidence. So, fellas, last time we talked, the president and many Democrats in Washington, D.C. were threatening executive action and pushing for various gun control legislation. What have you guys heard, like, on your end officially? Is anyone, I don't even know how that works. So if a new law does get passed, like when President Trump wrote the executive order to ban bump stocks, how does that information get disseminated to you guys in the industry? Like, who tells you, hey, you can't sell this piece of equipment anymore? How does that work?
Yeah, it would need to come down, depending on the specific type of action, it would either need to come down from the ATF. So I think that the bump stocks, I think, was an ATF interpretation of regulation. And from my recollection, ATF basically sent out an official, a letter or notice that they had reinterpreted the regulations, and under that new interpretation that they were, designating bump fire stocks, the stocks themselves, as machine guns. Mm. Now the problem you run into is when you issue an edict like that, if it contradicts written law, then, obviously it opens up this huge gray area. And there has been a recent case involving the bump fire stocks where they ruled that unconstitutional. Now, I don't know if it's in an appeals stage now, but that's my, my last, I guess, update from from some recent court cases where, that was overturned. But it may not be the end of it.
Gotcha.
Pistol braces, that's the new target. Pistol braces are obviously now the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And that's what the focus is on.
Go ahead, Bo.
And can I interject here? Because the way that I understand it, I do not own a pistol brace. They look awesome. I think it's fantastic. But isn't it kind of crazy that we would want to, the idea of a pistol brace, and you can agree or disagree or help me explain, is to help you with your accuracy when you are firing a 9mm, 45, whatever. It's to help you with your accuracy, correct?
Initially, it was designed by a wounded veteran who lost the use, or may have been an amputee, and it was used to allow the shooter to be able to fire it and hold it with just one hand, and it straps onto your forearm. So it kind of straps on your forearm by design and allows you to then shoot it with just the one hand, where because of the size and weight, it would be less practical without something to help stabilize it. So that
would help with accuracy, right? Correct?
Yeah. I mean, in that situation where you have immobility or, you know, not full functional, you know, if you lose an arm or you have, you know, somebody who's had a stroke or something where they don't have full mobility in both arms, or you've had to lose one for various reasons, it would allow for that.
It was created out of necessity, but then other people that were able-bodied enjoyed having that accuracy with firing with one arm. So basically,
it's a novelty. It's cool. Like you said, it's cool. Some people just think it's cool. Gun collectors want to have, you know, something unique in their collection. Go ahead.
And there has been some flip-flopping with interpretations from the ATF over the years on the braces and the actual use. So the problems come down to, I guess, the way regulations are written and then the definitions and interpretations, because a pistol is not really made to be fired from the shoulder, but a pistol brace looks a whole lot like a stock.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ended up happening was that people were putting pistol braces on their firearms and then shooting them from the shoulder. And what's a bit strange, and I don't want to like really dive too deep into this, is the way the ATF does it, but the ATF issues responses to inquiries. So the initial brace that was designed was sent to the ATF as, you know, designed as a brace, and the ATF said, okay, as this is designed, this would be legal. And then somebody else sends them a letter and says, can I shoulder this? And then another person sends a letter and another. So what ends up happening is it's not like really an officially published policy. And Jake might correct me if I'm kind of reciting this thing wrong, but I don't think the ATF has actually come out and said publicly, you know, all braces are legal under these circumstances. It's always a case-by-case basis mm-hmm. of a design of a brace and the application of the brace on the firearm. So now where we're at today is that because braces are big and bad and scary, and they want to essentially turn them into short barrel rifles. So they would be more regulated if Joe Biden has his way, but it doesn't change or prevent somebody from using a firearm in a crime and committing murder because
right.
If you're going to commit murder, you don't really care about the configuration of your weapon.
You're kind of getting exactly to where I was going with this, in that are these things even, I remember with bump stocks, like they were a novelty. It wasn't like a popular thing. It was just used in that Vegas shooting and got popular, you know, so it all of a sudden became the boogeyman. But it was like, it wasn't even something that people were using in regular life or in crimes in any large number.
Are we keeping
anybody safe by focusing on stabilizing braces? Like, go ahead. Go ahead.
All that they'll do is create a new class of felons if they do make that a law.
Right.
People that own them and possess them would then, you know, overnight become felons. That's what they do with the bump fire stocks. But I think the difference between the bump fire stock situation and the pistol brace is that they actually stated that bump fire stocks were machine guns. Literally, the piece of plastic was a machine gun, even though it is obviously not a real firearm.
Yeah, it's not even a firearm itself, right? Yeah, that's
and
that's
so that was one of the problems they had. Yeah.
So whether it be the braces, they have talked about changing the background check system in multiple different ways. Have you guys heard anything from the ATF about any of this, or do you know as much as we do from just watching the news?
Yeah,
there's been no clarification on anything. We could spend hours on this topic, and I would go into
that's
a lot more definitely.
I think it's also something worth noting is that I don't think I would really call pistol braces a novelty like bump fire stocks.
Okay.
They are far more prevalent than bump fire stocks.
Gotcha. Yeah, good. Oh, that's good to know.
Millions of them, because gun manufacturers are building and shipping guns with them pre-installed. So
gotcha.
The vast majority of, pistol caliber carbine or, you know, like an AR-15 style gun in a pistol configuration, more are shipping with braces than without.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So the problem that we run into is ATF is a regulatory, originally, was a regulatory type of their issues, right? So they're a regulatory. So they, meaning they're there to tell you what you do right or wrong. And they're there to create laws to keep people safe.
Right.
Right. So now we're having a federal agency start to dictate that if you use something improperly, you're now a felon.
Right.
Because you are their opinion, you're trying to, intent is to create a short barrel rifle by placing a pistol stabilizing brace. Well, if we're going to really start going after everybody that uses something improperly, there's a whole, I mean, we as people in general are stupid and we do stupid things.
Right.
So you can look at you can watch YouTube for hours and look at everybody that has used something improperly.
Like and a now, phone while you're
so
driving.
Now we're trying to convict everybody that they are a felon because you used a stabilizing brace improperly. I could take a handgun and put a handgun to my shoulder and pull the trigger on it. I would look like an idiot. I wouldn't hit anything. Am I now a felon because I used it improperly?
So another one of the ridiculous conversations that's being had is holding gun manufacturers responsible for actions taken, crimes committed with their firearms.
Yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
I see that as a roundabout way of just bleeding the industry dry. So if they can't, you know, if they can't outright ban the guns, they'll open up everybody to lawsuits and then sue you out of business. And they're already trying, you know, the banks are already trying to stop firearm companies from operating by tightening access or even just canceling their accounts outright. So this is another way by trying to open up the liability, you know, they'll fund all the lawsuits themselves. And every time there's any shooting, they'll just stack civil suits up on everybody who's touched or owned that firearm or, you know, dealers, distributors, manufacturers. And they're just trying to put the industry under.
Go ahead, Bo.
Of the approximately 400 million guns that are out in this country, I would say the vast majority are law-abiding citizens, and we've talked about this on this program before, that it seems like, you know, if they want to, you know, tax, you know, high-caliber magazine or high-capacity magazines or firearms, I just don't know how they're going to be able to do that. And that's why it seems like a money grab. And of course, we learned a few weeks ago before any of these mass shootings, you know, happened after a pause, that it's heartbreaking that it's so opportunistic. It is not on the major scale of, oh, we need to make sure all law abiding citizens are paying this amount for the things that they had. It just doesn't seem fair because the problem that we are having in major cities around the country are not law-abiding citizens. Yeah. They will still get their guns. They will still not pay taxes or fees on the things that they own. They just don't. How about fix that problem? Yeah. We have a morality issue in this country.
And I mean, you could say the same thing for, you know, look at things they've legalized like marijuana. There's still a huge underground market because of the taxes. So it's, you know, I mean, this is all anecdotal, but, you know, from everything I've seen and heard, you know, just because the state legalizes it doesn't mean that it actually eliminates the illegal trade of marijuana because the taxes are probably 50 or 70% or whatever they are.
Yeah. Guys, so I hate this. Go ahead, Jake. Go ahead.
I don't drink alcohol, and so maybe you guys, some of those people that do, so I'm speaking somewhat ignorantly here, I guess, but if I go out and get drunk and I cause an accident, can that family now sue Budweiser?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or can they sue Chevrolet because you're driving a Silverado? Like, that's exactly right.
Like, at what point do we start opening up so many issues because, again, somebody used something incorrectly?
Right.
I hate this
because we always, I'm not even close to, and like Jake said a minute ago, we could talk hours about this. I'm not even close through all the questions that I have for John and Jake, but unfortunately we are almost out of time. We got to get you guys back on soon and maybe get you on the podcast so we can get deeper into some of these issues. We will definitely get you back on soon because this is not over with. And as the Democrats and the president progress with these issues, they are obviously going to affect gun owners, you know, around the country, our listeners, and then we've got to talk about some things that the state of Missouri is working on to combat those issues. So, got to get you guys back on really soon to talk about that. Before we let you go, what is the latest out at Osage County Guns?
Believe it or not, we actually do have some ammo for sale on the floor.
Nice.
But inventory.
Is it getting out of the box and onto the shelves, or are you just selling it directly out of the box?
it's on the shelf.
All right.
On the pallet on the floor.
There you go.
We are getting a little bit better selection on some of our firearms, so that's picked up a bit. And I think, you know, over the next couple months, we're going to be continuing to fill out, you know, and hopefully by the summer, late summer, cases will be full. So find us on Google, you know, take a drive. You're bored, take a drive. You know, since we've got ammo, that's obviously easy justification
for
the drive.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a beautiful store, 6,000 square feet of retail space, Osage County Guns out in Wright City. You got to get out there and check it out. That's John Dawson and Jake Fair. Guys, thank you so much for sponsoring the show and for joining us and for providing such great insight every time we talk to you, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
Yeah, back at you. All right, take a quick break. We'll talk to our friend Amy Mark Scores when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Big thanks again to Osage County Guns, John Dawson and Jake Fair. Great sponsors of the show. Also, just always great insight into the firearms industry whenever we talk to those guys. If you missed any of that conversation, make sure you check out our podcast. Get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. I recommend the Odyssey app as being the best place to do so for many, many reasons. The show podcast goes on Fridays, and the podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. So you get two chances to download the download podcasts of this show. Our friend Amy Mark Scores from Camo X is going to be joining us here momentarily. She's going to be sticking around for that podcast exclusive. So make sure you download that when it comes out on Monday. We're going to talk to Amy about some of the gun laws that we were just talking with to John and Jake about, some of the movement that has been made in Washington, D.C. by the president and other Democrats. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the great outdoors and her experiences out there hiking, running, all that stuff as well. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, Bo, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. They are a gun concierge, not a giant store, but a specific store. If you are looking for a suppressor, that's your, those are your guys. And I just want to say here, I received a picture from Jesse, one of the owners. Jesse and Brad own the place. Jesse is fishing this week. He's finally able to take a breath. Tony, I'll send you the pictures, but man, I mean, we're talking a huge rack of fish. They've got probably record holders.
Did he set the state record for crappie?
Maybe, but you can find them at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you when you go in.
So let's get Amy on the line while we have a few minutes left here on the show. And again, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive this week for more with Amy Mark Scores. Amy, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. You bet. So I don't want to speak for you, but if you could just kind of tell us your perspective on things. Obviously, on this show, we talk to, you know, hardcore gun people a lot, or,
sure,
you know, people that are in the industry. Bo and I are both gun owners, and so obviously very protective of the Second Amendment and that sort of stuff. I know that you you're somebody who supports the Second Amendment, but you are, I think, like many more people out there, are not necessarily considered, you know, like a gun person. So
right,
you may look at some of these things that are happening, these laws that are being talked about from a different perspective, and that's exactly why I wanted to talk to you today. But yeah, just kind of when it comes to the Second Amendment and gun rights and that sort of stuff, what are your basic beliefs and thoughts?
Right. And just so people know, I'm not a gun owner, and I don't know the minutiae when it comes to all the different types of guns, right? And maybe that makes me a good representative of a lot of people out there.
I think it does.
Yes. But I'm also pro-Second Amendment. And so people know where I'm coming from. I was homeschooled, right? And I was like an old school homeschooler in the late 80s and early 90s when I think every kid got like camouflage for their birthday. My friends had ghillie suits. I didn't, but my friends did, and that was normal. And so, you know, I understand all of the Second Amendment arguments, and our school mascot was the Constitution. At the same time, I do realize there is a proliferation of guns and guns being used in ways that they shouldn't be. I know technology has changed. So where I stand is much more moderate. I'm a conservative, very much in the sense of, as the saying goes, I'm standing athwart history yelling stop, like all good conservatives do. And that means when it comes to gun laws, I don't like these sweeping legislation proposals that would decimate the Second Amendment. But I'm also careful when it comes to, no pun intended, the Wild West of gun ownership, because I do know that all of the gun owners I know are responsible, law-abiding gun owners.
Amy, is there a reason why you haven't tried out going to a shooting range, or is there a personal reason why you haven't chose to be a gun owner?
Yes, it is because I drop and break things all the time. And
okay, good call.
I think physically...
Those are limitations.
Physically, I don't have the coordination. I think falling in the shower is a very real threat for me, that type of thing. And so I feel like I would be a bad person to own a gun. I have trouble with three-hole punchers. So I just know my limitations, even though I am a big supporter of people having guns to protect themselves. I know female...
And protect you.
Yes, exactly. I know female reporters who own guns, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I would never take away her right to protect herself if she's a criminal investigative reporter. I mean, that alone is a good answer. But, you know, when it comes to, for instance, red flag laws, what can we do to make laws that would protect the rights of gun owners, but also try to cut down on incidents that we see, like mass shootings? I'm not against a carefully constructed red flag law, because when you look at some of these mass shooters, my goodness, the red flags were everywhere with what they were
the
posting on
signs,
social
the
media.
The warning signs are everywhere.
Right. And that is something where if we're able to enact due process, you know, let people say, okay, you have to be a close enough relative or employer or whatever of a person who's showing these red flags. And then there is due process where the guns are taken away for, say, 48 hours or 72 hours while that person is checked. That could go a long way in helping prevent some of these tragedies.
Well, we've often talked about it being the mass shooter situations are a lot of times mental health issues, not always, but sometimes. And I think that to have people evaluated and to have families go, hey, we care about our kid, but, you know, they're doing some strange things and I need to, you know, talk to somebody about that. I do want to mention this, Amy, to you. If it gives you any comfort, a lot of women, my wife included, are a better shot. For some reason, they are level-headed, they're calmer, whatever that is. So if you ever decided to do that, know that you have that advantage right out of the gate because, you know, your blood pressure stays cool and calm. And so, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and my mom doesn't own a gun, but she does have her Top Shooter's card. Not sure how she got it. I think she's only been a couple times at a shooting range. And I did go to a shooting range for my 23rd birthday, and we had the shooting range to ourselves, and we used everything from like a handgun to the gun that the police use with the that's why I don't even know it. It felt like a semi-automatic. I don't know what it is, but
probably
it was a police gun. Okay, to what is the Dirty Harry gun? We used that.
44 Magnum.
Yep.
Yes, the 44 Magnum. And so I was surprised by how intimidated by the guns I was. Because, I mean, this was at the height of me like playing ice hockey and being this tough athlete and thinking I was so cool. And I was very intimidated by the guns. And it was fun. I don't think gun ownership is for me, but I support the rights of others. Can I ask you a question?
Well, you know what? Let's hold that for the podcast exclusive. It's a perfect tease to remind folks to
that
download the podcast exclusive
on Monday.
That's exactly right. on Monday's podcast exclusive with Amy Mark Scores, because there's a lot to talk about there. I want to get into that red flag discussion a little bit. And there's also lots of other ways that people can defend them. You don't have to buy a gun if you're not ready to introduce yourself to that. You know, there's pepper sprays and taser options, and there's lots of other things that people can do to protect themselves. You don't have to go out to your local gun store and buy that 44 Magnum, you know, as your first purchase. So, Amy, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for sticking around. Make sure you guys check out the podcast exclusive. Download that when it comes out on Monday. And we're going to wrap up today's show. For Carl Middleman and my partner, Beau Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Big thanks again to Osage County Guns, John Dawson and Jake Fair. Great sponsors of the show. Also, just always great insight into the firearms industry whenever we talk to those guys. If you missed any of that conversation, make sure you check out our podcast. Get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere you get podcasts. I recommend the Odyssey app as being the best place to do so for many, many reasons. The show podcast goes on Fridays, and the podcast exclusive goes out on Mondays. So you get two chances to download the download podcasts of this show. Our friend Amy Mark Scores from Camo X is going to be joining us here momentarily. She's going to be sticking around for that podcast exclusive, so make sure you download that when it comes out on Monday. We're going to talk to Amy about some of the gun laws that we were just talking with to John and Jake about, some of the movement that has been made in Washington, D.C. by the president and other Democrats. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the great outdoors and her experiences out there hiking, running, all that stuff as well. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the show, Bo, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, Indepair on Manchester Road. They are a gun concierge, not a giant store, but a specific store. If you are looking for a suppressor, those are your guys. And I just want to say here, I received a picture from Jesse, one of the owners. Jesse and Brad own the place. Jesse is fishing this week. He's finally been able to take a breath. Tony, I'll send you the pictures, but man, I mean, we're talking a huge rack of fish. They've got probably record holders.
Did he set the state record for crappie?
Maybe, you can find them at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you when you go in.
So let's get Amy on the line while we have a few minutes left here on the show. And again, make sure you check out the podcast exclusive this week for more with Amy Mark Scores. Amy, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. So I don't want to speak for you, but if you could just kind of tell us your perspective on things. Obviously, on this show, we talk to, you know, hardcore gun people a lot, or, sure, you know, people that are in the industry. Bo and I are both gun owners, and so obviously very protective of the Second Amendment and that sort of stuff. I know that you you're somebody who supports the Second Amendment, but you are, I think, like many more people out there, are not necessarily considered, you know, like a gun person. So right, you may look at some of these things that are happening, these laws that are being talked about from a different perspective, and that's exactly why I wanted to talk to you today. But yeah, just kind of when it comes to the Second Amendment and gun rights and that sort of stuff, what are your basic beliefs and thoughts?
Right. And just so people know, I'm not a gun owner, and I don't know the minutiae when it comes to all the different types of guns, right? And maybe that makes me a good representative of a lot of people out there.
I think it does.
Yes. But I'm also pro Second Amendment. And so people know where I'm coming from. I was homeschooled, right? And I was like an old school homeschooler in the late 80s and early 90s, when I think every kid got like camouflage for their birthday. day. My friends had ghillie suits. I didn't, but my friends did, and that was normal. And so, you know, I understand all of the Second Amendment arguments, and our school mascot was the Constitution. At the same time, I do realize there is a proliferation of guns and guns being used in ways that they shouldn't be. I know technology has changed. So where I stand is much more moderate. I'm a conservative, very much in the sense of, as the saying goes, I'm standing athwart history yelling stop, like all good conservatives do. And that means when it comes to gun laws, I don't like these sweeping legislation proposals that would decimate the Second Amendment. But I'm also careful when it comes to, no pun intended, the Wild West of gun ownership, because I do know that all of the gun owners I know are responsible law-abiding gun owners.
Amy, is there a reason why you haven't tried out going to a shooting range, or is there a personal reason why you haven't chose to be a gun owner?
Yes, it is because I drop and break things all the time. And
okay, good call.
I think physically,
those are limitations.
Physically, I don't have the coordination. I think falling in the shower is a very real threat for me, that type of thing. And so I feel like I would be a bad person to own a gun. I have trouble with three-hole punchers. So I just know my limitations, even though I am a big supporter of people having guns to protect themselves. I know female...
And protect you.
Yes, exactly. I know female reporters who own guns, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I would never take away her right to protect herself if she's a sure. criminal investigative reporter. I mean, that alone is a good answer. But, you know, when it comes to, for instance, red flag laws, what can we do to make laws that would protect the rights of gun owners, but also try to cut down on incidents that we see, like mass shootings? I'm not against a carefully constructed red flag law, because mm-hmm. when you look at some of these mass shooters, my goodness, the red flags were everywhere with what they were
the
posting
on signs,
social
the warning
media.
Warning signs are everywhere.
Right. And that is something where if we're able to enact due process, you know, let people say, okay, you have to be a close enough relative or employer or whatever of a person who's showing these red flags. And then there is due process where the guns are taken away for, say, 48 hours or 72 hours while that person is checked. That could go a long way in helping prevent some of these tragedies.
Well, we've often talked about it being the mass shooter situations are a lot of times mental health issues, not always, but sometimes. And I think that to have people evaluated and to have families go, hey, we care about our kid, but, you know, they're doing some strange things and I need to, you know, talk to somebody about that. I do want to mention this, Amy, to you. If it gives you any comfort, a lot of women, my wife included, are a better shot. For some reason, they are level-headed, they're calmer, whatever that is. So if you ever decided to do that, know that you have that advantage right out of the gate because, you know,
right.
your blood pressure stays cool and calm. And so, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and my mom doesn't own a gun, but she does have her Top Shooter's card. Not sure how she got it. I think she's only been a couple of times at a shooting range. And I will say, I did go to a shooting range for my 23rd birthday, and we had the shooting range to ourselves, and we used everything from like a handgun to the gun that the police use with the... that's why I don't even know it. It felt like a semi-automatic. I don't know what it is, but
it was
a police gun. Okay, to what is the Dirty Harry gun? We used that.
44 Magnum.
Yep.
Yes, the 44 Magnum. And so I was surprised by how intimidated by the guns I was. Because, I mean, this was at the height of me like playing ice hockey and being this tough athlete and thinking I was so cool. And I was very intimidated by the guns. And it was fun. I don't think gun ownership is for me, but I support the rights of others. Can I ask you a question?
Well, you know what? Let's let's hold that for the podcast
tease.
Exclusive. It is. It's a perfect
Great.
Tease to remind folks to
that
download the podcast exclusive
on Monday.
That's exactly right. on Monday's podcast exclusive with Amy Mark Scores, because there's a lot to talk about there. I want to get into that red flag discussion a little bit. And there's also lots of other ways that people can defend them. You don't have to buy a gun if you're not ready to introduce yourself to that. You know, there's pepper sprays and taser options, and there's lots of other things that people can do to protect themselves. You don't have to go out to your local gun store and buy that 44 Magnum, you know, as your first purchase. So, Amy, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for sticking around. Make sure you guys check out the podcast exclusive. Download that when it comes out on Monday. And we're going to wrap up today's show for Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.